Welcome to Top of the Game with Javier Sade, where we talk to amazing people that are shaping the world. These lightning round talks explore what makes remarkable leaders tick. Thinkers and doers, pushing humankind forward and at the top of their game. Impactful insights, global perspectives, valuable wisdom you can use every day in your life and work. This is Top of the Game. Enjoy today's episode. Here's Javier.
If one starts doing something at the age of two, you may get pretty good at it, and such is the case with Ted and skiing. A true pioneer with a distinctive, unparalleled, lightning-fast, and highly aggressive carving style he perfected since playing around in his childhood in Park City. Still in his 30s, Ted retired from skiing a few years ago and is by far one of the best alpine ski racers in the world. He also happens to be a serial entrepreneur, having founded Shred Optics and currently as a shareholder of Carve. Ted is a two-time Olympic gold medalist, winning the combined in 2006 in Turin, Italy, and the giant slalom in 2014 in Sochi, Russia. He's also a five-time World Cup champion in giant slalom. He finished his career with 25 victories and 52 podiums. He is a household name in the world of winter sports and a lifelong skier and ambassador for the sport, who is currently an NBC analyst, brand ambassador, content creator, public speaker, and business owner. Some of the brands he is or has been affiliated with include Land Rover, Apple, Deer Valley, and GoPro. As his own website puts it, he's comfortable connecting with people on the slopes and in the boardroom. His Olympic and entrepreneurial experiences, as well as his journey of going from a kid at the bottom of the rankings to one of the best skiers in the world, captivates all audiences. He certainly did that with me and will do that with whoever listens. Enjoy this remarkable human being at the top of the game. Ted, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks. Yourself?
Pretty awesome, but not more awesome than I'm about to be talking to somebody like you. Holy moly, like, talk about top of the game. Before we get into your amazing career on the slopes, skiing, and as a very successful entrepreneur, which is remarkable, I want you to start us early, your early years.
So I was really lucky. I had the amazing opportunity to grow up in Park City, Utah. And if you're a kid in Park City, Utah, and you are sporty, what are you going to do if you don't ski? So I started skiing at the age of two. My parents were both, they both moved to Utah for skiing, not working in it professionally, but enjoying it recreationally. And so started skiing at two. Few years later, you know, joined the ski program at Deer Valley, made some of my best friends I still have to this day. And a couple years after, you know, ripping around Deer Valley, joined the Park City ski team at 10. And not because like my parents are like, oh, you should be a ski racer, or oh, I want to be a ski racer. It's like, oh, that's what my friends are doing. They're going to be ski racers. So that sounded like the fun thing to do. And then at the same time, Tommy Moe won the Olympics in 94.
Yeah.
And that was when I was first like, oh, ski racing is rad. Like, I want to do that when I grow up. So that was kind of my first foray into having goals and dreams to pursue this. But honestly, like, I got my butt kicked until I was like 17 years old. Like, I was our maybe like fourth or fifth best kid, born in 84, for all those years. And then it wasn't until I was 17 that I started climbing the ranks nationally. And I made the US ski team when I was 18, 19 years old. You know, I actually credit not being very good as a junior to my success later on, because I wasn't like the hot commodity kid that like the coaches really like looked after and all this stuff. I was like, you know, just one of the group and going forward. And that actually gave me room to go explore and play. Like, when I was 14 years old, the carving skis came out, and that was like a huge eye opener. A couple of my buddies and I, we'd go out after training and like have these little like carving competitions, see who could lay it over the furthest, you know. At first it was like trying to drag our hand on the snow, and then it was like trying to drag your hand and your butt on the snow, and then it was your elbow, and then trying to like drag your armpit on the snow, and just like playing like that. If a coach was there, they'd be like, what are you guys doing? You're leaning in. Like, you, we'd be like not doing any of the fundamentals, but that playing on our skis, that exploration, you know, taught us how to like play on our skis. And I was able to bring those skills into a race course later on. And it didn't end up equaling results right away, but those skills kind of gave me my trademark technique and way of skiing that I was able to harness, you know, when I was in my later teens and maybe strong enough to pull it off. And then entering the World Cup, you know, I had these like skill sets that people didn't have because they didn't spend their time playing and exploring on skis.
I mean, it's there's just so much to unpack there. First of all, the humility with which you tell the story for the listeners that may not be ski. I happen to be a skier, but I grew up in Puerto Rico, so I can't say I started at year two because we don't have any, and you know, the weather doesn't go below 70. But just for the listeners, technology, like in any sport, has evolved significantly. And what Ted is describing is the shapes that skis get, so you can get more angles and turn more, have a radius of turn that is more tight. Ted is famous because somebody that can achieve 40 or 50 degrees is pretty good. You get to like almost vertical, almost 90 degrees. It's like 80 degrees. We'll get into
carve. I get 90 degrees on a lot of turns. Yeah.
Amazing.
You're mentioning carve in the pre-event interview. And so it measures the edge angle and I'm getting to 90 degrees often, but.
What got you there was that you had obviously a lot of innate ability, but you had to work at it. And working at it your way happened to be exactly what you needed to then, I mean, you've had dozens of wins, Olympic gold. I mean, it's just remarkable. And all of the, in the show notes is going to be all the stats and all your career and everything like that. I want to talk a little bit about the stuff people don't see to get to win.
I mean, so I was always like a really competitive kid. So like the competitive side of it was always, I guess, somewhat easy for me. Like I was able to funnel like my competitive side, like my skiing ability and perform on a race. And I think I was really lucky to be able to shut off my brain in the start gate in that sense. And so having that competitive fire and having that ability to race allowed me to like achieve high results. But like from looking at like a week to week race side of things, like the thing about like ski racing is it's an outdoor sport. Like the environment's changing everywhere you go.
Yep.
Some places we have a hotel that has a gym, some places you don't. Some places you can like warm up and free ski or train before the race. Some places like the first real turns you make are down the race hill. So like for me, it was really important to have like a routine that I could replicate everywhere. But the only place I could replicate the exact same thing every race was the 20 minutes before I went out of Stargate. You know, everywhere else was like, you just had to deal with the environment you're in. But then I would really try to control those 20 minutes, going through the same workout routine, going through the same way of visualizing the course. All those things were the same. How I was like, you know, joking around and messing with my technician or my physio, like trying to stay loose in that regard. Like that little world was a world I could control. And that was like the little bit out of until the start gate. And that allowed me to like get the plan in my head to the point where I could leave the start gate and not have to think about the plan. It was kind of ingrained in there and I could just react. I could be in the moment. You know, in the ski race, like a GS course, gates are 1.5 seconds apart. So if you're thinking about the tactics on every single gate, you are thinking way, way too slow to be able to do that. You have to be able to just react. You have to be in the moment. And then you'd have your couple points in the course where you need to be tactical. And that was just ingrained in the back of your mind. So that was really kind of the key piece to me, was creating that like one really small spot where I could manage. But otherwise, like the weeks leading up, like it was always depending. We're trying to get training in. We're trying to get prepared the best we could, but some weeks preparation was awesome and some weeks it wasn't. So you had to be flexible in that regard.
Having this combination of flexibility and resilience, starting with the fact that, like you said, when you're in a mountain, you have no idea what the snow is going to be like. Everything's very different and it changes by the minute, but there's a constancy to some of that preparation, and that having that right balance is important, obviously, in what got you to the top of your sport in the world. But what makes you pretty remarkable, besides all that amazing winning you have done, is that you're a multiple time entrepreneur, which is another sport, if you want to look at it that way, right? It's about winning. It's about competing. It's about being flexible. It's about having some kind of routine, but really being flexible at the same time, kind of what you were talking about. So you started in 2006, 2007, Shred. And then anybody that has Facebook and has ever liked the picture of the outdoors gets served Carve, which is this amazing technology that you put in boots. Can you talk a little bit about both of the companies, but what I, more interestingly, just your pathway into the world of business? It makes sense that you're doing these two things because they're so related into what you know, but just generally those two things.
Yeah, so I started Shred in 2006, right after I won the Olympics. And really the impetus for that was what I was wearing at the time. And when I looked out there as like my options being a ski racer, like you could either look like an old German tourist or you could wear something that was maybe cooler, but like didn't work for racing. Like, you know, one of like the cooler brands, like would have really small field of view and bad lenses. It just wasn't workable. So I was like, there needs to be something that's cool out there, but also has like the performance level that I needed. And so Shred was actually a nickname of mine when I was like 10 years old. I was Ted Shred is what one of my coaches called me. So I thought that was a cool name. And I had met an Italian engineer a couple years before, and he was prototyping protective gear for myself and some teammates on the US ski team. And we became close friends through that. And we were on a mountain bike ride in Park City. I was like, man, I don't want to be on Evex anymore because I feel like a freaking dork when I wear it and it's not cool. And anything else that's out there that's like cool image wise is horrible performance wise. So this is my idea. And he's like, oh, I know where a factory is. Let's like, I'll go back and I'll like call you back when I get back over to Italy. A couple weeks later, he like sent me some prototypes and we kept, you know, drawing logos on Microsoft Paint and, you know, jumping in head first. You know, a handful of months later, we had some prototypes. And so really just like started that, you know, on an idea and a whim and jumped head first into it. And then, you know, after that, trying to create products that allowed me to go faster, you know, giving myself a competitive advantage, but also.
How many products does the company have now?
Oh, our SKU count is high, but I mean, what we cover is, I mean, the overarching themes are eyewear and protection. So goggles, helmets, back protectors, arm guards, like all the back protection or all the, like the protection for racing, but also mountain biking, sunglasses. So that's kind of the categories we cover, but always the impetus was like a performance enhancing product that for me, like lens technology, the difference between skiing and a race in flat light to good light is seconds, which is the difference between first and 50th. But the difference for my wife, who's a recreational skier, is skiing or being in the lodge. Good lens technology helps the average skier just as it helped me be faster in a race. So trying to create these like ideas and technologies or like a back protector, you know, that's something that's like starting to catch on, especially in Europe for the recreational skier. Like originally they're like hard turtle shells. And now we were the first to invent like a soft back protector. So, you know, it's becoming kind of the standard now, but something that feels flexible and you forget you're wearing it. So I've always been kind of a product nerd. So I love that ideation and trying to create those products. But then, you know, being involved in every aspect from strategy to marketing, you know, I had my hand in everything. I like to say like I was involved in everything and did nothing. And now since I retired 3 years ago, you know, really getting my hands dirty in the nitty gritty and, you know, business is fun and tough and the ski business is fun and tough and competitive, but, it's really, really enjoyable. And then Carve, they were actually around for a long time before I was first approached a couple years ago. And so they create it's basically a digital ski coach. It's like an insert inside your boot that has the ability to measure pressure, angulation. It's, you know, pretty amazing. And when they first approached me, I was like,
so wait, hold on. Let me stop you for a second. So there's a hardware component because you're putting an insole in the boot. And then you have a software. Can you describe a little bit? Because it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's a hardware component that goes inside your ski boot that has the ability to measure pressure, And also just like where you are in the world, like where your feet are in the world in 360 degrees. And then the software component, they've done a ton. They've analyzed like over 20 or 30 million turns, both through Carve, but through Carve paired with video, to figure out what of those metrics that they're measuring actually correlates to being a good skier. Gives you coaching tips along the way based on what it's actually seeing. When I was first introduced to it a couple of years ago, I was like, oh, another ski gimmick. Like, I've seen these things come and go and they're jokes, but sure, I'll try it. And I had had back
surgery. Let me stop you again. So what was how did you get better and better? Was it watching video? Like, what was your thing besides doing it? I mean, was there anything
that? Well, so I didn't use it when I was racing. So I think the thing is like, so for me racing, like my feedback loop for improving was I had coaches on the side of the hill and we videoed every single run. So like I could see that and I had that ability to like improve based on those inputs. The average skier has none of those inputs. Like some people go out for a lesson, but most people don't have a lesson after the first little bit. So their ability to improve is like a buddy watching them and saying something or like them videoing, but there's no like real feedback loop. So,
so you thought it was a game at first. You were like, oh my God, another freaking.
Yeah, I was like, how is this thing in my boot can actually like measure good skiing, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And is it actually measuring the right thing? And so I was very skeptical, but when I first went on it, so like I said, I'd had back surgery a couple months before. My right or my left leg was way weaker. And I got to the bottom of the first run and was saying like, oh, I had 10% less pressure on my outside foot, on my left footers. And then like one of the things that I always worked on as well is trying to have like parallel shins in Carve. They call it edge similarity. So both edges are tipped over at the same angle. And at the bottom of the run, it's like, work on your edge similarity. Try thinking about two magnets repelling your knees apart. And I was like, oh, I always just think about skiing bow-legged. Like,
wow.
So they right away, they were measuring things in my skiing that, you know, I was
sold. You were like sold.
I'm a very high level skier and it's instantly picking up pieces in my skiing that I do work on. I feel, and also was picking up like the injury piece of it as well. So I was like, wow, this is actually really cool. And so started exploring that with them and joined the team there. And so I'm both like an ambassador, but also helping craft kind of the metrics that they're working on, the coaching within it, trying to like weigh all the metrics. I mean, there's a lot of metrics and some, you know, they all form the complete picture of being the best possible skier. Some have a higher weight and are more important than others, and helping them kind of delve into that and create a better, more usable product for both the coaching side of things. But I mean, it's amazing as far as what it can do for like the intermediate level skier for getting them better. Cause that's really where like the hole is in the instruction. That's like, that's a group of skiers that doesn't have a feedback loop. They're not, if you're going to go skiing, you're not going to spend $1,500 on an instructor for the most part, or you don't have a coach. So this is a way to get better. And the better you are at skiing, the more fun it is. So this is a way that's a much cheaper and equally effective. And actually like a lot of ski instructors are starting to use it as a way to augment their teaching as well. So it's a cool tool in that regard. But for me at the highest level, it's kind of fun gaming it. So they have like a ski IQ, which is like how they measure how good of a skier you are.
How does that work? Ski IQ. Tell me about that.
It's basically taking all the metrics that I was talking about and they weigh them certain ways, but basically like in order to get a high ski IQ score, like, so my ski IQ is 170. I think the average is like 100. You know, there's one other guy that's a little bit better that has ski IQ. So I need to go see what.
Who is that?
I know I was the top of the leaderboard for a while, but you have to rip. Like, so you have to be an amazing skier.
Yeah.
And I can tell like the runs that I'm having a higher ski IQ are definitely runs I'm ripping on more, but it's like, for me, it's a fun way of gamifying like my buddies who are also were racers and raced in college. Like, hey, let's see who can get the highest ski IQ on this run. And so it's like a fun gamification, even at like the highest expert levels, but then a great tool for intermediate skiers as well.
Well, for us crappy intermediate skiers, it's good to hear that a multiple world champion like you likes to gamify what was a job for you, right? But it's a game for most people that do this.
Yeah.
Just what an amazing story of ingenuity, of, you know, parlaying, just deep, extreme and top of the game world-class knowledge into making businesses out of it. Just your story is super interesting. I can't wait. I know you're retired, but you're still in your 30s, which is, I mean, I can't wait to see what you do next. Just incredible the impact you're having. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for being a guest on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Awesome.
We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. For information and links about today's guests, check out the show notes and visit topofthegame-thepod.com. Your host, Javier Sade, the show Top of the Game. Thanks for listening.